because, you know, you don't need to write tons every day. 500 words a day for 5 days gives you 2,500 words. That's nearly a chapter. You can do a chapter a week, yeah. You know, and that's not an awful lot. It's not going to take you hours to do that. So break it down into little bits, into little manageable chunks. Don't think I must, you know, carve out these 3 hours where I'm going to sit at my desk and write my book. It doesn't work like that necessarily with children, does it? Mm-hmm. You know, so you sometimes just have to break it down, just do 100 words, put those in, and you just build it up and build it up, and you'll get there.
Welcome to the Moms Who Create podcast. I'm Kelly Heil, a mom, author, and artist, and I'm on a mission to celebrate and empower you. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, I'm sharing my insights and resources, diving into the stories of amazing writers, artists, and entrepreneurs, and helping you rewrite the narrative of balancing motherhood with your creative journey. Grab your coffee, a notebook, and let's get started. This is the Moms Who Create podcast. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to this week's episode of the Moms Who Create podcast, where today I have my first cozy mystery author. I'm too excited about this. I am so happy to have Helena here. Her name is Helena Dixon. She's a multi-published, multi-award-winning, best-selling author who splits her time between the Black Country and Devon in the UK. Married to the same man for over 38 years, she has 3 daughters, a cactus called Spike, and a crazy cockapoo. She's allergic to adhesives, apples, tinsel, and housework, which I found interesting because I, too, am allergic to housework. Also, fun fact, tree nuts. Please don't give me walnuts. If you ever see me out, I don't know why you would give me walnuts, but let's stay away from that. So, Helena was winner of the Romance Prize in 2007 and Love Story of the Year 2010 as Nell Dixon. She now writes the best-selling Miss Underhay series of 1930s set cozy crime. Loved talking to her, and I can't wait to make my way over to England so I can meet her in person and just talk all things Agatha Christie. I hope you enjoy today's episode. Growing up being a big fan of Murder, She Wrote and Jessica Fletcher, I am so excited to have you on here to talk today. So first, just thank you for joining me.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right, let's go ahead and start off by having you just introduce yourself to everyone. Tell them a little bit about you and just who you are.
Okay, well, I write 1930s set cozy mysteries as Helena Dixon, and I also write contemporary romance as Nell Dixon. But my cozy mysteries are my main books at the moment. I've just signed a new 6-book contract for my Miss Hyundai series, and I'm hoping to sign another contract soon for a new series that'll be coming next year or even later this year, depending how quickly I write it.
That's awesome. So open my Kindle. I am on chapter 15 of the Murder at the Dolphin Hotel. That's where I am right now. I was like looking through all your books because I have my TBR on my Kindle and in real life. It's so massive,
especially with cozy.
I was like, okay, there's a lot of books in here. You know, I want to start at the beginning. We're going to start at the beginning of the series. And the Murder at the Dolphin Hotel was the first one, right?
Yes, that's right.
So I stayed up way too late last night reading this until I was like, I physically can't stay awake anymore. But it's so good. It's so awesome. And again, it makes me want to be in England. It makes me want to go. I love these that are set in like the, I just imagine like cobblestone walkways and everyone is wearing pea coats and it just sounds so fancy. So anyway, I'm obsessed with it. I can't wait to dive into all the other ones that you've written too and the ones to come. I have so many. You've written around 60 books, right?
Yeah, altogether, yes.
Okay, so I have a ways to go.
Questions are out of print at the minute because various reasons the publishers change, and I've taken some off because they need updating because I've been doing this a little while now. But there's 15 out now in the Miss Underhay series, so you've got a few to go in that series, so that's all right.
We'll see how fast I can read. You, as a writer and an author, you have so many books out. What inspired you to become a writer, first of all?
I started writing at a very young age. I joined my first writer's group when I was 12. So we're going back a long time now. I finished my first book when I was 17. It was completely rubbish and never went anywhere. I didn't dream of sending it anywhere. It was very derived, I think, from books I'd read, as they often are when you're that age when you start off. I submitted my first book for publication when I was just before I was 30. I was pregnant with my eldest daughter at the time. And I got a lovely letter back. I sent it to Mills and Boone. It was a romance. Got a lovely letter back from the editor saying, it's not quite right for us. Everything was wrong with it, basically. But we love your writing and please send us some more. And I just thought, oh, that's so nice of them. How kind. Had three children in 4 years and forgot all about it until they were a little bit older. Yeah. And then just before my 40th birthday, that was when I had a health scare and I thought, right, I've always said I'm going to write a book and be published. If I don't do this now, when am I going to do it? You know, I really need to give this a go. And of course, the internet had come into being and you could get more information and find out, because nobody in my family was a writer. I didn't know any writers. I've no connections to publishing. You know, it wasn't like I knew somebody could go, excuse me, please can you publish me? I'm going to write a book. And it just went from there, really. So that was where I got started.
Wow. So you didn't really like attack it. Well, you started really early, 12. That's incredible. Most people at 12 don't know what they want to do with their life, let alone like write a book or start, you know, really diving into that and honing in on that more than just a creative writing class, you know, in your junior high or high school. And so you didn't really start until your later 30s, you said, right before your 40th birthday.
That's right, because I always work full-time. I'm a qualified nurse, midwife, health visitor. Mm. So I've always been working full-time in healthcare as well as writing and bringing up a family. So, yeah, it's been busy, still busy.
Wow. Well, that gives me more hope, because I'm 35 and I'm like, you're never too late on a journey to start something.
I think my 40s were my best decade.
I hear that.
I loved it. Fabulous.
I hear that. 20s are, you know, kind of crazy, and I'm loving the 30s. So I told my husband, I was like, man, these 30s are the best. You just become more like self-confident and more like less caring about what others think.
I think you grow into yourself, don't you?
Yeah. So I can't imagine the 40s. I'm very excited for the 40s. I don't get upset about getting older. I'm like, let's bring it on. You only get better with age.
Every decade has its own benefits. It really does.
Okay, so before we talk about your books, I wanted to ask you, what do you love most about writing cozy mysteries? Because it's a very like a niche genre.
I think it's, for me, I like the puzzle. It is about solving the puzzle. It's, you know, particularly if it's like a locked room mystery or what they call an impossible crime, where it can't possibly, you know, he can't possibly be murdered, but yet he has. So how? And you know, when nobody could get in or get out, or nobody saw anything, or, you know, that they're locked away on an island or in a castle, or, you know, it's just in a railway carriage, just somewhere where you think, well, you know, it's got to be one of these people, but it can't have been any of these people because nobody saw anything, nobody heard anything, but somehow this person's dead. So for me, I like that puzzle element, and I like having a regular cast of characters. It's that world that you build, isn't it, where you feel like you're at home in the setting and you get to know the people in it, you know, the different, some you like, some you can see why the main character finds them really annoying, but they're there, and it sort of makes it more real, because you think you know people like that and that you sort of can recognize them. And I enjoy that. I like that a lot.
That is true. That's a good way to think about it. Tell us about your books. You have a lot of books. You said you had some romance and then that you do under a different name. Give us an overview. I know you have so many of them, but give us an overview and tell us about your books.
My romances are contemporary for the most part. I've written for so many different publishers and different sort of things. Some they tend to be, so they're contemporary. I've won 2 national awards in the UK. For contemporary romance. I've won the Romance Novel of the Year Award twice, which is given to the best book of the year in a shorter form, which is up to 60,000 words. I've won that twice now. And then my crime books, they're historical and they're all set around the area where I live in Devon. So they're all set along the coastline here, and they're historically accurate. So the historical events that were going on at the time, if you were to come to Devon now, you could go to Dartmouth where Miss Underhay lives. You could see the hotel. It was, you know, the buildings the hotel's based on. You could go to the castle and have tea in the tea room. You can go on the steam train. You can go on the paddle steamer and literally following Kitty's footsteps around the place. And you would know where you were, even though it's set in the 1930s, which is fun. I live just down the road from Agatha Christie's house, Greenaway.
No way.
So you're going to have to come, Kelly. You're going to have to come.
Oh, my goodness. I just think I'm actually meant to live there in England, but I'm stuck in the Midwest.
Me too.
That's so neat. That is so cool. I love that you used your actual place where you lived to use that as the basis of your books. That's so cool.
The other thing I like doing is the research part because they're historical, and there's a lot of things in the series that you can, as I say, you can do that part of the visiting, you know, to say you can go on the steam train, you can go on the little paddle steamer, but you can also visit Exeter, which is the city, which is not too far away from here, which is where Kitty goes. And you can actually go into the tunnels underneath Exeter, which some of those date back to medieval times. There's a big cathedral there. It was a Roman city. They've just done an archaeological dig there where they've dug up loads of Roman stuff from when it was a legion fort near on the green where the cathedral is. Wow. So I try and put lots of details like that in as well so that people get a feel for the history of somewhere. So we do quite a lot of riding around, taking photographs, making sure it's all as accurate as we can be, because of course during the war Exeter and some of the other places around here were bombed, because we've got the Naval College just down the road in Dartmouth where they train the Royal Navy. So some of what was there in the 30s of course has been disappeared. So you've got modern bits next to medieval bits next to bits from the 20s. So I've got all these old maps that you sort of have to overlay to find out where things were to make sure it's right. So we do quite a lot of research, a lot of riding around, making sure that things are right.
Do you ever drive by Agatha Christie's house to just get a dose of inspiration? I would. I would just sit out there with a chair.
Yeah, it's a National Trust, so you can go and visit. So we've actually been around the house, and you can go in the gardens, and you can go up the river in a boat and get off at the landing there and walk up. And the boathouse is where she set Five Little Pigs and Dead Man's Folly. She actually wrote those there on the river, and you can actually go and you can sit there and, you know, you can look out over the river and see what she saw. Torquay Museum, they've got loads of things, loads of artifacts here that belong to Agatha and her husband Max Mallowan, because of course he was an archaeologist. And they've also got I don't know whether you've seen some of the films and the programs they made with David Suchet as Poirot. And they've got some of the costumes and different things in there as well. So you can go and see the costumes from the films, some of the series things. It's great fun. You can have a wonderful time, honestly.
That's amazing. And again, through all of this and all your books and everything, you are a mom. So you've had to have motherhood on top of all of this. So do you have any advice for moms of all stages in their motherhood listening, how to balance being a mom and also being like a writer or artist or that other creative part of you? Because they can go together really nicely, but it's also hard to really spark that creative moment, especially when you have like a little kid, you know, you're knee deep in diapers, all the things like that. So tell me, how did you find that balance? And what would you say to a mom who wants to get into writing, wants to write a book, but she kind of feels like motherhood's a lot? What would you say to her?
Be kind to yourself is the main thing. You know, things don't have to be perfect. You know, you really do not there's this sort of, I think it's sort of this thing, this idea that's engendered by TV and film and celebrities and influencers, that you've got to have this like perfect image of what being a mom is and what, you know, that being, having a career is and having this is. And it doesn't have to be that. It doesn't have to be perfect. You know, your house does not have to be immaculate. It has to be clean. But that's not to say it has to be tidy. You've got children. Children play. Children make mess. That's okay. As long as it's safe and it's clean, that's all right. Doesn't matter if there are toys out and about or you haven't put the washing away or whatever. You know, and that's my other top tip. I haven't ironed anything in years. No. It's a complete waste of my time and energy. No, there is no law that says your clothes have to be flat. You know, choose carefully. Fold them up. Put them away. Job's done. Nobody cares. You know.
I love it.
Just be kind to yourself, you know, and just make sure that you use those moments that you do have. You know, if your child's taking a nap or they're happily engaged playing in the playground, you know, make sure you've got a little notepad and a pen in your bag. Just scribble a few notes to yourself, even if it's just a few lines. You can type them up later when they're in bed, or you can type it on your phone and then send it to yourself. You know, cheat. Use all those bits, those times when I've been sat in the car waiting for them to come out of dance practice or a computer class or whatever. You know, use those moments. You know, they add up, because, you know, you don't need to write tons every day. 500 words a day for 5 days gives you 2,500 words. That's nearly a chapter. You can do a chapter a week, you know, and that's not an awful lot. It's not going to take you hours to do that. So break it down into little bits, into little manageable chunks. Don't think I must, you know, carve out these 3 hours where I'm going to sit at my desk and write my book. It doesn't work like that necessarily with children, does it? You know, so you sometimes just have to break it down, just do 100 words, put those in, and you just build it up and build it up, and you'll get there.
That was so wonderful. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for saying that. In the world of social media now, you know, you see it's a highlight reel. So moms will put, you know, like, or they'll set up a scene where it's like, okay, kids, don't say a word for a minute. Sit here quietly, like you love each other. And I'm going to take a video of me working or doing something with you. And then you see it and you're just like, and then their house is perfectly spotless in that corner. And then you watch it and you're like, you know, oh, my house is messy. My kids are yelling at each other. Like, how do I get this? But you got to remember, these scenes are set up. No one has the most perfectly wonderful, clean house, and their kids, I know, don't fight at all, and they never have motherhood breakdowns. But it's hard to differentiate real life from social media, and it can be tough as a mom. You know, you really do compare yourself. So thank you for saying that. And then tell us what it's like really quickly to be. How old are your kids now?
My children are growing up now. So I've got my eldest daughter has just gone 30. And my other two are, now if I get this wrong, they'll probably kill me. 20, almost 27 and 25. So I had 3 and 4 years in the end. So
I want to ask you, what is it like to be, I'll say on the other side. And now I know they're still your children and you're still a mom to them, but what's it like to did you ever think you'd reach a point where a kid's not like pulling at your shoulder, or like you have time just to sit down for hours and, you know, work on writing and stuff? How has that transition been? Because for some of us, like me, I have a 4 and a 6-year-old. I'm just going through it right now. And I just can't imagine them being older and not having that those 2 hours where I have to quickly work and then go back and wipe someone's butt.
To be honest, your children are just coming up to the nice age, because you can send them off to bed, and, you know, once they're in bed, hopefully, fingers crossed, most of the time they're asleep, and you think, oh yeah, I have to get a few hours in.
Then
you hit the teenage years where they want to stay up later and they're playing a video game, or they want you to come and do their homework with them because they don't understand whatever it is they've got to do, or you're having to nag them to get it done, or you've got to drop them off at a friend where you become mom's taxi, where you're here, there and everywhere picking them up around the place.
Or
did they start coming to you with boyfriend problems and job problems and other problems? So it doesn't really stop. It just changes. And of course, I've got a grandson now as well, a little grandson. Mm. He's three.
Aww.
Cute, but he's a boy and I'm used to girls. And I'm kind of like, oh, having a boy is a shell shock.
That's a whole new experience for you too now. Oh, man. Yeah. I have two daughters and I don't have any boys and I wouldn't even know where to start with that. Yeah. So there's always something.
Always something. It changes, you know.
Which is something to attest to saying, don't wait for the perfect time to start. No. I've seen some people say, okay, I'm just going to, you know, start doing this passion project or write a book or whatever when my kids are 18 and they go to college. But like, there's still things that go on then too. Like, don't put off your goals and your dreams and your writing until your kids are older and out of the house, because there's just going to be something else.
And it may be that, you know, when your kids are younger, you're not going to write the great novel, the best novel that it's going to be, because it's like everything you learn, the more writing's a muscle, the more of it you do, the better you get. Yeah. You know, there are a few people who sit down and the first book they write is fantastic and they go off and get an agent and film and all the rest of it. But those people are very few and far between. Mm-hmm. I liken it to people who are learning pottery. You don't sit down at the potter's wheel and throw a perfect pot on your first go and go, ta-da, here it is, I'm going to put it in the shop, it's fantastic. You don't. You're going to make a horrible mess, aren't you, to start with? It's going to collapse halfway through, or you're going to give up and chuck it at the wall and then start again with another one. Right. It's exactly the same with writing. You know, that's how it works. You know, your first one, you're going to be proud of at the time, think this is great. But then you write your next one, and then you look back at the first one and think, oh God, that was so awful. What was I thinking? You grow. So don't put it off. Just have a go. And then each time you're doing a little bit and a little bit, you're learning and getting better at what you're doing. So that when the perfect time does come, you're going to be there. You're going to be ready. You're going to have your book ready to go.
Don't forget to connect with me and the podcast on Facebook and Instagram at Moms Who Create Podcast and at Kelly Heil. Thank you so much for listening. I will be back with another wonderful, beautiful mom of a human.